Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you during this season of summer to Front Porch Talks.
I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us. We pray that today's program of Front Porch Talks will be a half hour of hope for your life.
Yes, indeed. We really want to give off hope as a result of this broadcast. And we try to say that every session because we want to make sure you know that there is hope in a seemingly hopeless world. I know there's a lot going on in our world these days. It seems that violence and evil is at an all-time high. It seems that a lot of rhetoric and a lot of gossip and a lot of hard news comes our way. And Grayson and I are hoping that Front Porch Talks will be a reprieve from all of the bad news and that we'll be able to give good news that in this seemingly hopeless world, we will know there is definitely hope that came from out of this world into this world and is our hope forevermore. And that hope is in a name. Yes, it's in a person. It's in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Today we're going to continue with the good word coming from the good word. Yes, the word of God. We've had a few sessions, a few broadcasts where we talked about praying through the scriptures. And we've talked about praying through the Psalms. But I want you to know that I believe we can pray through the whole word of God. There's no doubt that when we pray the word of God, we certainly pray the will of God. And sometimes we can't muster up the words. We don't know what to say exactly when we pray to God. And I think that is the perfect time to take the Word of God and open it and to begin to saturate in the Word until it situates our prayer life. And we pull lines from the Word of God and echo them in prayer back to the God who gave them to us. Today we're going to pick up our reading in the Psalms. In Psalm 55, I'm going to pick up kind of toward the end of Psalm 55. And the way I love to pray through the Word of God is to just keep an ink pen in my hand. And as I pray and as I read, I underline, I highlight, I write in the column or the margin of the page prayers and thoughts that the Lord tends to be bringing into my own thought processes. And I pray those back to the Lord. So I pray that this will be a half hour of hope and a half hour of prayer for your life and for ours. There's a scripture verse in Psalm 55 and verse 16. And one of our last broadcasts, I ended with this. So I want to pick up with it and begin today with it. The scripture says, "But I will call on God and the Lord will rescue me." So prayer certainly is calling on God. It is crying out to God. It is having communion with God. It is having friendship with God. And so the psalmist tells us, "I will call on God." He's making a testimony, a witness for his own life. "I don't know who you call on," he is basically saying, "but I will call on God and the Lord will rescue me." So he has this great confidence that the God he calls out to will not only hear him, but will also help him. We go then to verse 22 of Psalm 55, and the psalmist says this, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you." Now, there's a song in the church that I've heard since I was a little boy. It goes something like, "God will take care of you through every day or all the way." And I love that song. And I'm wondering if the songwriter was actually in Psalm 55 when he penned the words of that song. Because David says, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you." Let me say those words of that song again. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And so we can pray with the psalmist, "Oh God, I will call on you. I know you will rescue me. You hear me. You will help me. I give my burdens to you, O Lord, and I know you will take care of me." In the New Testament, we can hear an echo of this verse. "Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for he cares for you." And so let's give our cares, let's give our burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of us. Grayson, when you hear these ideas of calling upon the Lord, knowing that he will hear and help us, and that God will take care of us, well, what would you like to add from your own commentary to these deep thoughts?
Well, if we're worried about the future or about what life holds or what troubles we might go through, knowing that God will take care of us, knowing that He'll be with us and within us while we're going through these things in life, should give us encouragement, should give us hope, and should let us know that we're not alone during these trials or these hard times, that God is there for us and He will help us get through it. And so I just think that should give us hope and encouragement today, and to lean on Him and to cast our cares on Him, and to, like the scripture says that you read, to take our burdens to Him.
That's exactly right, Grayson. That's a good word, that He wants our burdens. You know, sometimes we think we shouldn't burden God with our burdens, and that's a really weird thought from God's perspective, because He is the burden bearer. Jesus even said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all of you who are burdened, heavy laden, weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And so He wants us to exchange our burden for His burden, our heavy burden on Him, His light burden on us. And so surely He wants us to give our burdens to Him. He wants to take care of us. Moving on ahead in the Psalms, Grayson, we go to Psalm 61. And listen to the words of Psalm 61. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Holy Bible. "Oh God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the tower and rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. For you have heard my vows, O God. You have given me an inheritance reserved for those who fear your name, and many years to the life of the king. May his years span the generations. May he reign under God's protection forever. May your unfailing love and faithfulness watch over him. Then I will sing praises to your name forever as I fulfill my vows each day." Now see how personal that prayer is? Except for the fact that we're not kings like David was. When we read this psalm, we can pray this psalm. I mean, the first few lines are just right where we live often. "Oh God, listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. From the ends of the earth, I cry to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the tower and rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me." I mean, this is the way we pray the scripture. I tell you, it's been very powerful for my life over the years when I have prayed the scripture. But this year particularly, the Lord has locked me in. I mean, I began 2017 with about 3 devotional books and a Bible each day that I wanted to read. Well, I got a little behind in my reading. My wife and I had a move this year from one house to another, about 7 miles. And during that time, we kind of got off base a little bit with our daily readings, and it really was a little overwhelming. But when I finally got settled back in, it was as if the Lord said, "Take those 3 devotional books and put them in the timeout chair and just take my word and just saturate in it, Carrie." And I've been doing that, especially over the last few months. I've been just reading the Word of God and praying the Word of God, and it has been powerful for me. And it's amazing to me how the psalmist was praying generally and sometimes specifically the same things that my heart wants to pray to God. And so praying the Word of God is praying the will of God, no doubt. In verse 4 of Psalm 61, it says, "Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings." You know, there's another song of the church that we used to sing when I was a young boy. "Under his wings, I am safely abiding." Now, I'm really into waterfowl and birds. My native home is an island on the coast of North Carolina. And we have a lot of waterfowl, a lot of birds. And I was a photographer by trade before I was a pastor. And I just love to photograph waterfowl and birds. And every once in a while, you will find this bird or this duck or this goose. And it would have its young little babies, little ducklings, little birdies with it. And often they will have their wing covering their young. And so when I read this verse and I pray this verse from Psalm 61, it's very real for me as an island boy and as someone who loves birds of a feather. And the sense is that I want to live forever in his sanctuary. That's his presence. He goes on to say, safe beneath the shelter of your wings. So there's this sense that I become one with the Father because he puts his wings over me and pulls me into himself. You know, Jesus, when he was crying over Jerusalem, he said, "Oh, how I have longed to gather you under my wings as a hen gathers her chicks." And you know, there's this sense that God wants to gather us into his presence as much or more than we want to be gathered into his presence. And so it's a great prayer to pray, "Lord, let me live forever in your sanctuary, in your presence, safe beneath the shelter of your wings." In Psalm 62, we continue to pray, and we can certainly sense our own lives in these words, "I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him." So out in the margin of my Bible, I wrote these words, "Apart from you, my God, I will be only a victim, not a victor." So the sense is I'm praying a paraphrase to God that the psalmist has already prayed. "I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him." And then I pray with my own pen in my hand and my heart pointed toward heaven, "Apart from you, my God, I will be only a victim, not a victor." And so we want the victory, and we know, Grayson, the victory only comes from Jesus. He is our Lord. He is the victor. And we get to share in his victory. We don't have to be a victim. We can have victory. So when you think about this idea of waiting quietly before the Lord, for his victory is coming to you, to your life, what might that mean in your everyday life?
Yeah, a lot of times we go through life and just see all the things we're dealing with, and we forget that the battle's already been won, especially if we're going through spiritual warfare. We forget that God's already won the battle, that he did that when Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins. That is when victory was won over the evil one, and that, as the Bible says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the evil one, and we need to remember who our strength is, where our strength comes from, and that's the Lord, and he has already proclaimed victory over the evil one. That means we can have victory in our own lives over the evil one through Jesus Christ, and we need not to forget that today.
I like that line you said, Grayson. We need to remember who our victory is. You know, Jesus is our victory. We know faith leads to victory, but it's faith in Jesus, and Jesus himself is our victor and our victory. You know, I love to visit the Holy Land. I don't think that's a real secret to anyone who's ever listened to Front Porch Talks. October of 2018, Lord willing, we'll make our 15th Hearts Aflame discipleship journey there to the Holy Land. And in my mind's eye right now, Grayson, I'm outside the Garden Tomb, just outside the gates of Jerusalem, the place where it's remembered the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he rose the victor from the dark domain to live forever with his saints to sing. So the sense is that he is our victory. So I like, Grayson, what you said. We need to remember who our victory is. Sometimes we make victory a what or a where or a when. But we need to make our victory a who. We need to make it Jesus Christ because he is our victory. And on this program, we say that hope has a name, and the name is Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that victory has a name, and the name is the same, Jesus Christ. We go to Psalm 62 and verse 5, and the psalmist is just praying out, just opening up his heart for our heart to enter into his prayer. He says, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him." We have a little chorus we've sung around the church for years. "My hope is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord." And this is, I believe, where that scripture has inspired the song. And so, Grayson, when we think about this idea, as we wait quietly, we get victory. But also, as we wait quietly, his hope becomes our hope. And I guess you could take your sentence and say, we need to remember who our hope is, not where our hope is, not what our hope is, not when our hope is, but who our hope is. It's in a personal relationship with God. And then in verse 8 of Psalm 62, the psalmist says, "Oh, my people," it's like he's talking to us, Oh, my people, trust in God at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge. So, Grayson, when you think about trust in Him at all times, what kind of thoughts come into your mind about trusting Him in every situation?
Well, Dad, first of all, you were talking about waiting, and certainly we won't get victory maybe every day or in every situation, but in the end, we will get victory through Jesus Christ, and if we persevere and live lives that are pleasing to Him, we'll spend eternity with Him, and that's the victory that He's talking about, the victory over death. And also, you were talking about how He commands us to trust in Him at all times, and that's whether things are going good or things are going bad. If things are going good, we still need to rely on Him. Just because things are good doesn't mean that we don't need to rely on Him. And when things are going bad, we need to not give up on Him, not give up on our situation, but know that He can get glory out of tough situations. So we need to rely on Him at all times and make Him our refuge at all times and trust in Him and lean on Him no matter what our situation, and also witness to those around us through our circumstances and let them know that God is good in everything and in every day and every situation that we go through.
Yes, Grayson, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the song, Life is Hard, But God is Good. And we need to remind people of that by the way we live, by the way we love, by the way we talk, by the way we walk. And I'm in full agreement, Lord, with what Grayson is saying right now, that You are a good, good God. And sometimes life is hard, hard. And You know about that, Lord, because You lived the life on planet Earth. But we know that You are more good than life is hard. And so we need to live that for sure. We want to trust in You at all times. We want Your praise to always be coming out of our mouths and out of our attitudes and out of our actions. Lord, we want to pour our heart out to You as the psalmist called on us to do, for You are our refuge. Now, when it comes to refuge, you know, I said earlier I'm an island boy, and my dad was a commercial fisherman. I worked in a shrimp trawler, and I worked with my dad a lot of summers. And that's where I learned the value of hard work. And I haven't worked as hard, I must admit, as I worked with my dad on that shrimp trawler during those summers of my high school years. But I know something about refuge. You know, we had a harbor where my dad kept his boat up until 2 weeks before he died. He sold the boat, but he had his boat kept in the harbor of refuge on Harker's Island, North Carolina, the refuge harbor. And there were many hurricanes and bad storms. And my dad's goal was to get out of the heavy waves and the heavy winds and to get into that harbor of refuge. And we know that there are storms. There are hard winds in our lives. There are hurricanes emotionally, mentally, relationally, financially, spiritually that come into our lives. And we want to get into our refuge. Our refuge, our place of safety in the storm is in the presence of God. And the psalmist says that to us. God is our refuge. So no matter how hard the storm may blow or how hard the rain may fall, we have a refuge that is more good than the storm is bad. And the psalmist reminds us of this. There's another scripture that I want to give. It says this. It's talking about wealth. You know, the psalmist prays about everything. I mean, he gets into every area of our lives. He says, and if your wealth increases, don't make it the center of your life. This is verse 10 of Psalm 62. And if your wealth increases, do not make it the center of your life. And so I wrote in the margin of my Bible next to this verse, don't make wealth the center of your life, Carrie. And I began to add a little bit more as I read a little further. It says, God has spoken plainly, and I have heard it many times. Power, O God, belongs to You. Unfailing love, O Lord, is Yours. And so I wrote out beside that, God is love. His love never fails because God never fails. You see, earlier Grayson was saying, we need to remember who. We need to remember who, not what, not when, not where, not even how. We need to remember who our strength is. We need to remember who our hope is. We need to remember who our victory is. We need to remember who our love is. God is love. And in this world we live in, Grayson, a lot of people are like the old country song, looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, we need to look for love in the face of God, not in the places of the world. Because the psalmist says, "Unfailing love, O Lord, is yours. And I pray, God is love. You are love, O God. Your love never fails because, God, you never fail." And so that's a great strength in our life, Grayson, when we're able to see that God is all of the things that we need. He is the fulfillment of our strength. He is the fulfillment of our victory. He is the fulfillment of our hope. He is the fulfillment of our love. And so we need to look to Him. And the psalmist teaches that beautifully to us, Grayson.
Yes, Dad. And as you were talking, I was thinking about how the main reason we need to look to the Lord for our hope and for our love and for all those things is because if we look for that in other places or in other people, they'll let us down. We're all humans. We'll all make mistakes and let each other down, but God will never let us down. He will never abandon us, and we can always rely on Him and count on Him and count on His promises because they are true. So that's where we need to find our strength, and we need to not try to substitute it or find it in other places because we won't be fulfilled like we will from God.
Exactly. We'll always have that empty place in our soul if we try to fill the God vacuum with anything or anyone other than Him and His presence. I want to conclude with some words from Psalm 64. The psalmist is speaking these words, and I'm praying them. "The godly will rejoice in the Lord and find shelter in Him, and those who do what is right will praise Him." So I wrote out in the margin of my Bible, being right includes praising God. I wonder how often, if we would just praise God, that we would see victory coming into our lives in a new and wonderful way. Often we only pray and we forget to praise. And so the good thing about the Psalms is you're able to bring your prayer life into order, but you're also able to bring your praise life into order. Because the psalmist, all through his prayers, all through his writings, his poetry, everything, you find him calling out to God. Yes, in fact, he is crying out to God often, being very vulnerable, being very transparent with God about what he needs. And then he praises God as the one who can meet all of his needs. And so, Grayson, when you think of this idea, the godly will rejoice in the Lord and find shelter in Him, and those who do what is right will praise Him, what kind of thoughts would you like to conclude with?
Well, Dad, as you were talking, certainly He wants us to bring our requests and our concerns to Him, but He also wants us to give Him thanks and to praise Him, to not take the things that He's done for us for granted. So we need to remember that when we're coming to Him in prayer. It's okay to, you know, share our concerns or share our wants maybe, but we also need to thank Him and to praise Him for all that He's done for us and all that He's doing for us, and even thank Him in advance for the things He's going to do and for the victory that we have through Him and through His Son, Jesus Christ.
That's beautiful, Grayson. We want to have at least a little bit of a praise song here at the end, because I do believe that being right includes praising God. We want to pray to Him, and we want to praise Him. We pray that today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks has been indeed a half hour of hope for your life. God bless.
The two songs that we have for you today are Nikki Clark singing "For the Glory of Your Name" and Kim McLean singing "His Praise Fills the Temple."
My spirit is broken and weak. salvation. I just want them to be free.
Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.